Hello, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Peter Zorn. I'm from Wachleitz Media Arts Center in Halle, Germany. Next to me is Mike Stubbs, CEO of FACT, Foundation for Art and Creative Technology in Liverpool. We both sit here because we have the honor to inaugurate the launch of the European Media Art Platform, and we've want to thank our associated partner festival Transmediale for giving us the opportunity also that we're here with all our colleagues. But before we introduce you to all the different organizations, we want to have a few words on the history and legacy and why we are sitting here, and that's also the reason why two old guys are sitting here in front. Because the European Media Art Platform, which is launched today, is built on the legacy of the European Media Artists in Residence Exchange, which we initiated together with Haltheim Biz Arts, an organization which doesn't exist anymore in England. And Mike used to be the director of that organization, which was a great one, and Intermedia Department in Budapest with Janusz Sugar. From that year, 1995, like 23 years ago, we had a lot of different partnerships, and also the network sometimes expanded, sometimes melted down to less organizations. We had to be self-sustainable most of the time, but sometimes we managed then to bring in some EU support, which we are very proud of, and especially now these new European Media Art Platform is launched with the help of the Creative Europe program, and this one is going to be continuing the next 4 years. Mike told me that before I tell you the interesting things you might come for to know about the conditions and what we offer, he wanted to do some sentimental part. Yeah. Are you there? Okay. Before that, I have no clue. Great. This is completely improvisational. Yeah. So. If it's getting boring, you just tell us to stop.
Yeah, okay, stop. Good afternoon, everybody. And it's thank you to Transmediale for putting on another great festival. Some of us return here when we can to see old friends, new ideas. I spent all morning listening to the talks in here and got some really fantastic new ideas from very intelligent young scholars with new ideas. And we need to find the new ideas from somewhere. So this isn't actually the usual sort of sentimental, isn't it, great moment we normally have, because we are actually very good old friends. But a sort of reminder that when this sort of original exchange started in the mid-1990s, the internet was pretty rubbish. Foreign travel was expensive. And the opportunity to actually go and do something in another country, and we're talking about a few years after the reunification of Germany and the Eastern Bloc actually becoming available as a concept to large chunks of the Western world, that there was a lot of significant learning to be done. Now, of course, in terms of learning about a new place, a new language, a new culture, for any young person, whether that's a child this big going on their first trip, to an artist who maybe has never left their city, this does actually represent a significant opportunity. Like, you know, someone who's done very well, and, you know, I've had a very lucky, fortunate life as a curator and artist. Of course, I can look back at the privilege that has been afforded myself and Peter, and the rest of us, and think about how can I pass that on to more people? How can I create opportunity for other people that don't necessarily come from middle-class backgrounds, don't have money, maybe haven't traveled before. This is not about supporting people who've already got it all. It's about how to make new opportunity. That also means that we have to recognize diversity. And I think that although an agenda around disability, ethnicity, race, gender, sexuality, etc., has been embraced to an extent in what we've done, we can do more. And I'm hoping to see actually a stronger emphasis for the platform as it takes on its new opportunities going forward, takes that a bit more seriously. And then, of course, what did we actually do? You actually look back at a list of about 250 artists that managed to have residencies.
171.
Thank you. Okay, I always exaggerate. But if we look back at those artists and where they've got, some of them have done really well, some of them have just had a great time. And what were the values that we could hope they'd get? So one of the things that I like to reflect on is the notion of being a host. So Transmediale is the host to us today. Thank you. I'm glad they could afford to have us here. So there is an exchange of value and there is an expression of power in any transaction. And I like this relationship between the host and guest. And as a host organization, basically offering some money, offering some time, an airfare, a bit of food, the use of the kitchen, to a young artist, perhaps for the first time, one has to be a good host. But of course also people have to learn to be good guests. Yeah, that's. So this is a new kind of relationship that people have to learn. And then finally, I suppose I just wanted to say something about as things tighten up, that as money gets tighter, which it certainly is in the UK with an austerity culture, that if we can continue a residency scheme such as this, through years maybe when we didn't have any public funding, so it's worth noting that Peter and myself put people up on our sofas a couple of years in a row because we didn't have any money to do it officially. But we managed to keep the thing going and it enabled people to play. And in the context of this year's Transmediale conference, I just want to say something about, you know, I made a small comment this morning about art and the role of art and elegance and agility. But also about play. You know, where can people afford free space to have free ideas, to get things wrong, discover new friends, you know, all very utopian values, but still worth fighting for.
Okay, that was not even so bad for a sentimental journey. Thank you, Mike. I want to start with a critical notion that probably many of you are aware of, maybe some not. No artist can ever access a European grant of the Creative Europe program. There is no access for artists to these kind of programs, nor can you access a program of the Kulturstiftung des Bundes. You need an institution to do that. I personally think that it is quite problematic, but that gives us actually the role of mediators or probably even producers of artistic work, trying to access and channel that money towards the arts and the artists. I'm generally a bit annoyed because the conditions under we have to work are getting more and more bureaucratic and more money needs to go into administration and financial control. And I think we have to start to work against these systems, and I hope that there are other organizations who will join us in that. I think the platform is an opportunity to stand up for more rights and more freedom for the arts. Talking about the arts, now what may the artists amongst you might be interested in, so what are we offering, what are we looking for? First of all, EMARA is quite an open residency program. It has a few restrictions or limitations. One is we are not looking for students. The reason is that we think students are usually connected to university. They have their own programs, own opportunities. So we are looking for those who We finished, I mean, PhD is accepted because those are the ones who are going to leave, or the ones who left the academies. But there's also no age restriction. So there is no limitation if there's an artist who is 60 or 70, still can apply. No one of us would care about that. I think most of, we have a huge diversity now of different profiles of organizations you'll get to know in a minute. Saying that, I think that's also important to know for you, that we cover all fields of digital culture, from media production, film production, which is not Hollywood, which is not straightforward traditional film, but artistic film production, up to interactive works, VR, AR, robotics, and bio art nowadays. Each organization has their own profile online and tells what they offer. But the difference between an individual residency at one of the organizations is the whole consortium, every one of us has access to your works, can look at your submissions, and you have to choose a priority list 1 to 11 where you would love to go first, and that gives us the access to the work. So if I'm at number 11, I have to wait until whatever Mike or some of the other organizations said, no, we take another artist, then I might access and ask you if you would be interested to go to our organization. Second, and that's not an exclusive thing, but it plays a role, we are looking for an intercultural exchange. So usually, for example, I would not take artists, especially not German artists, in Halle in Germany, because you can address me and we can work in a different way, but rather from the rest of Europe. It might be an exception if there are so many artists nowadays based in Berlin which come from other cultures where I still think, okay, there is an intercultural exchange and maybe there is a special need for just coming to our place. It's a 2 months residency, which is not a big time for a huge production or, I mean, it's for some people it's quite a lot of time, especially if you have family, to leave your family behind. But to produce a new work, it's quite difficult. We know that, so there's also no exclusion to go within an existing work and continue that or modify that or finish that on any step. But we are a bit dependent on that there will be a production at a certain point in the end, because within our system, it's not only about the residency, not only about the work you produce at your host center, it's also potentially touring through all our partner festivals, because actually I think nearly everyone has a festival or an exhibition venue. That is a curated show, so they can select out of our 11 productions each year, and after 4 years we will have 44 productions which we commission. But there will be also a final show in Halle at the Backlights Festival, which will show all of the works. So we need to have finished works in the end. We offer a free accommodation, free access to all the labs of the different host organizations. You have to study this carefully and look, because, yeah, as I said, there's a huge variety of options and possibilities. There's a grant of 3,000 euros, and next to it there is a production budget of 4,000 euros. That doesn't mean our facilities, which come for free, it means extra money for your production. And there is travel expenses up to 500 euros. So maybe we are even can travel for research, or you can come twice to your host. These are the conditions, and I think that should be about it in the moment. If you have questions about that, we can do that later on. I've got 2 more minutes. Did we forget anything to mention? Yeah, then tell me.
So I think at this point I'd like to thank Peter Zorn. Herr Peter Zorn, who's done a lot of work putting the lead organization's work of making the EU application. And what I want to add here is that Werkleitz, when it started, was a tiny organization in a barn in the middle of the countryside. Now, of course, its headquarters are in Halle, and it's a bigger organization. However, for many years, Peter has done this as a volunteer without any money.
This is not so interesting. Anyway, I lost the point.
Yeah, so can we have a round of applause for Peter?
No, stop.
And what it really means is that something that started as a fledgling idea has now got a real momentum.
No, you made my concept out of plan, because I think I wanted to talk one more sentence about artistic freedom and things, but I mentioned that. I mean, you've done that, okay. I mean, yeah, I still should mention that we try to keep Imara as open as possible. Besides of the things which I just mentioned, what we need, usually we're really looking for your ideas and your proposals and your submissions. And we still try to keep that going. But besides of that, each of us has a different profile, and this is going to be introduced now by the first five organizations. So maybe you can come up front. We start with Dinah Selina from Rixis in Riga, Arjen Dunnevent from Impact in Utrecht, Veronika Liebel from Ars Electronica, and I think one more, that's Dominika Gluschik and Agnieszka Kubiczka Jedziuczyska, no, I did it wrong, sorry, I warned you, from the Roe Art Center in Wroclaw. And before you start, actually, I have to introduce Werkleitz. Mike started to do that, so maybe you can start with the first slide. This is our website, imara.eu. You find all information on there, and there's a link to the call website, which is call.imara.eu, which is closed now. But the next call will will launch at the Ars Electronica in September and will be open until mid-December. Okay, I say a brief word about our profile of Werkleitz and just give the address. So Werkleitz, as Mike said, was founded in the countryside. It's now based in the city of Halle. We are a hybrid in between film, especially documentary productions, and media arts. But we are also excited sometimes to host completely different works. We once hosted Christoph Wachter and Matthias Juth. They did Pikiday.net, a project you might have heard about, Circumpassing the Chinese Firewall. And as a supported artist, they received the Golden Nika 2 years ago. So not just doing film-related works, but our equipment is based around film equipment, and for anything else, I have to look for other corporations still possible. So look at our profile, here's the contact, and we are on the list of the 11 organizations, not far from here, it's 1:15 with the train. So we continue with Dinah,
yeah.
you start.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Dinah Selina from RIXSI, Center for New Media Culture, based in Riga, Latvia. I am a producer, and our center is well known for our directors and artists and curators, Rasa Smite and Reit Schmidt. We are around this scene for 20 years now, more than that actually. If since 1996, we started as Electronic Art Lab, which changed its name and a little bit also focus in 2000. Next, yeah. And briefly, what RIXSI is, we are Art Science Festival, previously known as Art Plus Communication Festival, and we also own our gallery space, which will be the place, the venue for where residency artists will be able to show their work for public. And this year our festival, which is usually quite a large scale, will take place in mid-September, which will be a week after Ars Electronica Festival, so you're welcome. Actually, also, the call is open for the conference. And we, what we do, we are, of course, always open for public, these public events, but we especially pay attention to children, and we develop education programs to introduce art science works, art technology works to them. And yes, most importantly, back to residencies. We welcome proposals by artists who work within art science and technology. And as an example, I would like to mention just few themes of our recent festivals, which were renewable energy, techno-ecologies, art of resilience, renewable futures, and last year we had festival with the title Virtualities and Realities. And even more specifically, we would like to invite artists working with virtual and augmented reality, 3D printing, machine learning, artificial intelligence, net art, and so on. So this was super brief introduction to what we do, who we are, and you can contact us anytime. You see contacts on the screen, and you can also catch me around here. Thank you.
Next presenter is Arjen Dunneven from IMPACT.
Yeah, hi, I'm Arjen Dunneven from IMPACT. We're based in Utrecht in the Netherlands, and we've been a member of EMARE, as Peter told you, the predecessor of the EMAP program. Our biggest activity is organizing an annual festival taking place in October. But the other things we do are diverse events, small-scale presentations that we organize throughout the year. Of course, the residencies that we do in the EMARE EMAP framework, other productions, projects, presentations abroad. Our focus, we go with the slogan, critical and creative views on media and technology or on media culture. Which kind of shows that we're not only interested in technology, but also in our media landscape in general, that of course includes mass media, social media, etc. And we try to focus on how developments in technology and media influence our lives and shape the world that we live in. So we are maybe not so much a showcase of high-tech, complex installation pieces in the festival or in our residency work. We try to focus more on content, on works that create a platform or evoke discussion on how this world that we're living in is shaped by these technologies and by these media, but also how we as user, instead of being used by them, can create agency over them, how we can use contemporary media and digital technologies to share our worldview with our fellow citizens on this world, and how we can like give back to the media and the world that is communicated via these media to us. In this next slide, you will see a little bit of the artists that we've been working with recently. Of course, our residency program consists of the EMAP projects, the EMARE projects, and the artists that have been participating in that, you can see them listed here. We also have residencies for curators. Sometimes, not always, that is connected to the way we organize our festival, and that is in a system with guest curators. The upcoming IMPACT Festival that will be organized from October 24 to 28 will be curated by three curators. Two are based in London, Luba Elliott and Alex Alenkina, and one is based in Germany, Jasmin Keskin-Tepe. And they will curate a festival that will focus on the notion of post-truth, what it is to live in a post-truth world, and of course all the connected themes like fake news, filter bubbles, but also how algorithms and artificial intelligence shape the information society that we're living in. Right. Do I have 0 minutes left?
Yes,
okay.
Zero.
Maybe just the next slides. Old building, new building. Next slide. That's a video that I could have shown if I had the time, but it's available on the internet, IMPACT channel on YouTube. You can see an 8-minute film from the last IMPACT Festival. I'd be happy to take any questions after the presentations when all is done. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Arjen. Okay, next presenter is Veronika Liebel from the Ars Electronica Center.
Hello, from my side, I'm Veronika Liebel and I'm co-director of the Ars Electronica Festival in Linz, Austria. Next. I won't talk too much about Ars Electronica in general, but much more actually what we can offer to artists in residency processes and what we want from artists in residencies. So usually, and in this specific case of AMAP, we will give artists the opportunity to meet and discuss and work with our experts in the Ars Electronica Future Lab, which is an R&D and research and development lab, working with programmers, media artists, media designers, engineers, and so on. They will also have the opportunity to work in the Ars Electronica Center. Basically, it's a museum for educational purposes, but there we also have about 1,000 square meters of lab spaces. So we have like a fab lab, but also a bio lab and a newly opened VR lab that the artists can use and work in the labs. Of course, our own interest will be then at the end also after this research and creative process to present the outcomes within the Ars Electronica Festival and engage also the artists to establish a certain discourse with the international audiences coming to Linz every September in 4 to 5 days of the festival. Basically, what are we interested in? So during the last years, we have really established a culture of facilitating residencies and this encounter between arts and science. We are therefore really following the strategy to actively go to scientific organizations and also science experts and invite them to participate at certain stages of the residency process. But we have also seen in the application of AMAP now that many artists actually propose already their science collaborators and work with them in the residency process. So this is also an option. In general, in this dialogue between art and science, we are very much interested in really general, deep and very concrete questions on what it means to make the science, where it will lead us, does it mean for humankind, and do we want this, and so on and so on and so on. Just to explain this a bit, I've brought three concrete examples of artists which we've done residency with in the past 2 or 3 years. One example is Quadratura, a German-based collective, so maybe you know them anyway, and they have been invited to a residency at the European Southern Observatories in Chile, in their facilities in the Atacama Desert, and they are they were working with the scientists there. And because of actually lacking time, I'm just introducing two other artists, Eva von Lindenthal from Ireland, who was working with scientists at the European Space Agency. And the last one is Semiconductor. I'm sure you all know them. They were working with scientists from CERN and also Ars Electronica. Thanks.
Thank you, Veronica. Okay, put it on. So the next center is the Bro Art Center in Wroclaw, and presented by Agnieszka Kubiczka-Dziadziuszewska and Dominika Kluszczyk.
Hello.
Hi.
We can play the video. We have prepared a short clip from which you will learn that we started out in 1989 as most probably the first festival behind the media art festival behind the Iron Curtain. So it went from an action to an institution, which we opened in 2008, but the Media Art Biennale is still very important project and is tightly connected to the activities of the Vro Art Center. Both provide the context for the residencies.
And very shortly about the last edition of Biennale Vro 2017 under the title Draft System, we managed to disperse the artworks in all around the city in 17 different locations. We invited around 150 artists and gained the audience of 1,200 people, which was really intense for us. And we were trying to present artworks in very site-specific places all around Wrocław, trying to discover a new location, not so obvious, like basements, like former grocery stores, museum as well. So it was really huge, huge event for us.
So I think this is really our approach that we also practice every day at the Vrouw Art Center, which is not very big. We have a gallery of approximately 200 square meters with also some new part, the staircase, which we also use. And this would be the space where the residency artist would work on everyday basis. We try to develop special exhibition formats that also deal with programming, but the most important thing is to find the right context and connection to our audiences, to our broader social environment. This is another place that from where we originated. These are our former offices, a small place now used as a Vrouw Atelier for more experimental formats.
And it would be the place for the resident of IMAP project as well. We are trying to expand the city, so to bring art into the different public spaces and organize different activities such as performances in parks and to let the art be more present for a longer time, to just have it in Wrocław for a longer
time.
This
expansion also means to arrange traveling exhibitions and the so-called Vrouw on Tour. I have a small catalog here. I'll leave it later. This is a selection of videos and documentations picked up from the last Biennale edition. This is also an opportunity to promote the artists who would whose works would be shown within the Biennale. And there we also work with in different spaces, in different cities, in different countries. Here you see probably our most successful traveling exhibition, which is the interactive playground and educational exhibition for children here. The people in Bombay were queuing quite a long time.
Okay, so very, very shortly, the main core activity for us is art mediation. We do believe that via art we can connect with the audience, we can build a dialogue and get the feedback from them.
So we love to listen to artists, we love to learn from them, we record them, and that's the end.
Okay. Thank you very much, you both. We need to, I would like to ask the other presenters now on stage. We had too many to have you all at once, so we just change here. And everyone who didn't present so far, please come in front. Okay, we'll continue the presentation with Container, a Bureau of Contemporary Art Praxis in Zagreb, Croatia, presented by Olga Meissen.
Hello. So I'm Olga from Container, curatorial organization from Zagreb, Croatia, and here behind the laptop is my colleague Josipa, sweating it for us. So we are the organization that is doing curatorial projects on topics of body, technology, science, and art, and repercussions that interconnections between all these fields have on society, and we have a platform of a gallery that is doing projects that are connected to sound art during the year, and then we also have three festivals that are triennials that are exchanging. So each festival is happening in 1 year. First festival is you can see behind me. Extravagant Bodies, that is dealing with the topic of norm and normality and how society is defining norm. And the first topic of that festival was disability. So artists with disabilities were doing their projects on that festival. We had a lot of other topics after that. Mental illnesses, old age, and a crime and punishment. So all of these festivals basically dealt with the problems of norm. Then the other festival is Touch Me Festival. It's international platform for art and science projects. It's also thematic festival, so every time we have a different topic. Energy was one of them, energy abuse. Last year we had Touch Me Festival that was dealing with dark matter and was curated by Arts at CERN curator Monica Bello. So sometimes we do this kind of curatorial exchanges. And the third one is device art that is dedicated to art and technology. And usually we collaborate with another country. So it's art and tech in the sense that that is somehow trying to make Croatian artists interested in that field, but also then we are comparing it with some other scene, and we were collaborating with Japan artists, with Californian scene, with Canadian artists, with Czech artists by now. And this year we have device art in December. It's going to happen in Museum of Contemporary Art, and it's going to be curated by a New York-based Chinese curator Zanga, so I'm inviting you all to come and visit. Also, I would like to thank to this MRA group, and we are for the first time doing residency program. We were doing a lot of production, but only for Croatian artists, and this is our big opportunity to host somebody from abroad.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, the next organization is Bandit Marche in Bourges in France, presented by Olivia Oerle, but also the director Isabel Carrière is amongst us here today.
So hello, I'm Olivia Oerle, producer manager at Bandimage. So Bandimage started in 91, focusing on video art. Bandimage is interested in experimenting with media, critiquing media, and use of media in general. Bandimage is also an event that is annually called the Rencontre, which means gathering in French. And during these events, we invite artists to create workshops, film programs, video presentations, performances in Bourges, so every year. We also invite curators such as Olivier Aducci, and he programs films, and it helps us think about ideas such as dominating film culture. He's interested in showing African films, Asian films, Middle East films, that kind of thing. We are situated at La Friche, so we have a strong partnership with Emetrop, who we work with, La Friche, and we also have strong partnerships with art schools, and we are very into thinking of alternative schools, way of education. What else could I say? We have actually an artist in residency with IMAP called Paola Pin, who is interested in themes such as transact feminism. And she thinks of culture, mixing culture, art, science, and technology that are dominated by men, and taking it in a feminist approach. Why we are interested in IMAP is the dialogue with the many institutions we have here. Also discovering new artists we would have never discovered in other ways. And sharing knowledge. I don't know how I am with time. Are we good?
We should continue on the next. Thank you.
And for your I'll contact here the website.
Okay, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
We continue with M-Cult in Helsinki, presented by Mina Tarka.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here, and I'm really happy that the EMAP platform now started. Actually, what Peter forgot to say is that we received almost 500 applications, and we've been here for the all of the week to do the task of jurying. It's not public yet. We will still think about it, but you will hear. So MCult actually was established 2000, and I think it was partly like, you know, there was this movement of European new media culture that actually was taking place. So also MCult, like Rix in Riga, were part of this, and we were talking about new media culture. So MCult is still on that track, and we are really into the social and cultural innovations of digital media and art. In our first years, we actually managed to do and produce one of the biggest electronic art events in Northern Europe, at least ICA 2004. More recently, we've been now focusing on a triangle between media art, community media, and open source culture. We don't operate a space, but we also are definitely interested in finding audiences for media projects without the spaces and the spaces with walls. So we work a lot in urban space, in public space, and also the public spaces so far of internet. And we hope to enable, that's our kind of main task, we want to enable new processes, new methods, new productions, new art pieces. And yeah, I think I will just, oh, you already showed two. Can you take it back? Because I thought I would show just some examples of the work, and I chose three examples, which are actually Berlin-based artists. The first one is what we did in 2014. This time we were actually participating with Bees, and the project by the Constitute was actually a video mapping project where a miniature, a scale model of the beehive was made into, was then video mapped onto the facade of the scale model building. And this was a co-production with FACT, because we do a lot of things in co-production with our international and local networks. So the second project also describes, we have a political also agenda, or we want to discuss the political burning questions, and you know, we also want to help activists to bring out their agendas and in public space, in different spaces. And this project was done with Tactical Technology Collective, also based in Berlin a couple of years ago. And in that, we actually worked with different NGO, grassroots, activist organizations, and Tactical Tech helped us and the organizations to create campaigns, which we put in the public space. The last example then is most recent, and it's Valentina Karga. We are now running a collaborative media art residency, and she created a wonderful project on values of the future, which included a clay totem and then a kind of manifesto video. Thank you.
All right, the next presentation is the Onassis Cultural Center in Athens, Greece, by Promotros Thrasiv, Tsiavos. His colleagues are here, I think also Christos Karas, director, and Heracles Papadreou, but you are all alone on the stage, so please give your presentation.
Names is not your thing.
No, it's not today.
So I'll say a few things about the Onassis Cultural Center in Athens, and give you an idea of which are the issues we're interested in, and what you could be doing by participating in our calls and our residencies. So we are part of a bigger organization, the Onassis Foundation, which is about 40 years old. Onassis Cultural Center in Greek is called Stegi, which means roof, and we try to create this house for critical art, trying to intersect art, science, technology, with great emphasis on performances. We're quite active. We have about 80 productions per year and over 500 events. Our focus is digital rights, human rights, environment, the commons. We are also very interested in issues having to do with the urban space and also the contrast between periphery and the center. If we go to the next slide. We are also quite active internationally. We have done several exhibitions which are collaborations with other organizations. The most recent ones are the Tomorrow's exhibition that was curated by Daphne Dragona last year. And also we had Hybrids, which was in collaboration with Ars Electronica. We also heading coordinating a European project Interfaces. By the way, we are doing, as part of the Tune City program, a festival in Ancient Messini from 1 to the 3rd of June. So our objective is not just to stage shows, but basically supporting artists. And we want to have this very active exchange between international and Greek artists. And if we go to the next slide. What we do with the in terms of digital programs, which is a fairly new activity, we only have 3 years now that we have a digital program. We trying to focus on creating critical mass for change. That's part of our mission, and we use three formats. The first one is what we call critical thinking, where we mostly have talks. We have what we call Digital Wednesdays, but because they never happen on Wednesdays, we decided to change it to Digital Nights. So this is pretty much our critical thinking format. Then we have the critical making, critical engineering. There we try to focus more on makers' culture. And from October onwards, we are starting a makerspace. And finally, we have the critical business part, which is interested in value. We're going to have an open call for residencies and participation in our space as well. And thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. So we continue with Laboral, Centro de Arte in Gijón, in Spain. It's presented by the director Karin Ohlenschläger.
Hello. Yes, I'm Karin Ohlenschläger. I'm the artistic director of Laboral since 1.5 years. We are located in the northern part of Spain. Laboral started in 2007 with a very strong program related to the connection between art, science, and digital culture. Our activity are based on a structure where research, production, exhibition, and a very strong educational program are very close connected. Our educational program is, for example, collaborating with the local government to introduce an interdisciplinary program designed by artists, makers, and educators to introduce new methods of critical and creative doing and thinking into the public school system. In this context, we are collaborating with the FabLab Schools Erasmus Plus program to develop methodologies and ways to introduce, for example, the FabLab in the public school system in Europe. We have also a very strong residency program to offer to the artists and scientists and other creative people to use our Fab Lab to work within our sound lab or to use the audiovisual studio for research and production within our exhibition program or within these different residency programs. We are very glad to be part of the IMAP network during the last the next 4 years, because during the last 4 years we have also been involved in other European networks, and we think it's very important to open up new connections for research productions and exhibitions inside the European community. And it is important on one hand for our local cultural context and for the local artists, but also on the national and international level to reinforce our cultural identities through these different initiatives inside the media culture. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Karen. Okay, we come to the last presentation. Back to the person you have got to know from the beginning, Mike Stubbs, represents FACT UK Liverpool. Well, we have no to worries. Find the slide.
Of course, we had some problems.
It's okay. So firstly, I'd like to introduce Leslie Taker, who's working with me and many other brilliant people in Liverpool. Where I live, which is in the north of England. And this is the building that we work in. Liverpool is a very friendly city. You can have a great time. Come and visit us, please. The organisation is about 30 years old and comes out of a legacy of video art and new media. The building itself is 15 years old and was built specially for the purposes of being a new media centre. Next slide, please. And it contains exhibition spaces, cinemas, a restaurant, a cafe, an education program, a PhD program. And I suppose, what more can I say than all of this? Because it's already a pretty amazing array of organizations that we've witnessed. But we're trying to commission art. We're trying to create new work and not just present existing work. We're very sociable, and I think that we're trying to find a balance between the local community, and I mean that in the truest sense of the word, of how can we really engage everybody from all parts of community, whilst also making international level work which will go out and come back in. So this is also, in a way, it's a call to you that if you want to co-produce an exhibition or a commission from an artist, we're always open. There are a number of people within this group here that we've worked on through other European networks, or similarly on co-producing a major exhibition. So these are some of the stuff that we've done. Just go back one. But actually, someone raised this piece. This is Hey Hey, and we actually had a fracking station in our gallery. One year we were so short of money, we actually had to frack. But we did actually, in that process, working with the brilliant artist Hey Hey, we did actually raise a serious agenda around whether fracking was a good idea or not. Okay, next slide, please. These are some of the things we're working on at the moment. That's Natalie Jeremijenko down at the bottom. So we're working between the CCB, Singapore Art and Science Museum, on an exhibition around sustainability. To the right, Strata Rock Dust Stars looks at the history of geology and map making, which I found fascinating this morning when people were talking about maps in relation to data. Top left, Future of Work. That slide is ripped off from Jeremy Bailey, Toronto famous new media artist. But we've got an annual program called the Future World of Work, and this is a sort of city region-wide investigation into what the future of world will mean for young people, old people, employers, employees, and education authorities. So think about precarity, thinking about automation, mobility, so on and so forth. Rewire is a major commission to celebrate 10 years on since the capital of culture, Liverpool. The last time that England can ever be capital of culture, the one and only time, as we walk out the door, God knows why. Next slide, please. Light Laboral, we actually share Actually, many of the staff at FACT have actually come from Laboral. Thank you. Yeah. And with those staff, we also share a pedagogy or an approach to thinking about learning, which is about giving people the tools to learn for themselves rather than telling them what to think. Next slide. Lots of labby stuff, maker stuff, VR stuff. As many opportunities as we can to kind of create an exchange with our publics. Next, please. Also, we worked very strongly with older people, and also in particular for 9 years since working with Superflex from Copenhagen, we've been working with returning soldiers, which is possibly one of the most challenging things we've done as an organization. But we've become quite expert in that process. Similarly, we've now sort of migrated into the criminal justice system, so we're now working with returning soldiers in prison, because that's actually where a number of returning soldiers end up, unfortunately. Next slide. Says what it is. But we've got some good partnerships with loads of universities, and we can also work with them on partners. Next. Next. Okay, that'll do.
All right, thank you all for being so disciplined, and we're really kind of in time, besides of you, Mike. But now we have time left because we thought that it might be an opportunity. We are, as you said, we are looking for European artists or artists based in Europe, working within the digital media with new ideas, new projects. We will have every year a new call, so the next one will appear from September. We launch it at Ars Electronica until 15th of December. I mentioned in the beginning what we offer. I won't repeat it because you can read it online. But next to it, we are also interested, of course, in any context of organizations who maybe want to become associated partners or maybe one day join the IMARA, IMAP network. That would be also interesting if you want to approach us. And thirdly, we also want to discuss and see what else we can do, as we already, it's 11 of us working together, and I think this is an opportunity we should use also to try to change things, as I mentioned in the beginning a bit, on the cultural political level, but maybe also on other levels. So this is another issue who can be discussed. There is a microphone here. I would ask you to place your questions in the mic here up front. And if we miss to say anything, now it's the time to ask us the questions. You have all the different profiles, the different organizations. You can address it to each of them. Don't feel shy. I think you did very well information. There are no questions left over. You've got a question, okay. Laura.
Okay, my question is, what if I want to come and do a residency at one of the hosts and I have a family and I can't leave them at home? What are you going to do?
A very, very good question. I think this needs individual answers. We have a flat in Neustadt. I don't know if you know Neustadt. It's half of an empty city, and so there's a flat with, I think, even two or three rooms. And we had artists bringing their partners and even a baby. So in Halle, it would be possible. But this doesn't answer for all the others here. So I think this is really a very individual question, very different in all of the places. Is there someone else who can host a family?
It depends how many kids.
Body mass. But there's a question. Maybe can you go to the mic, or is it long enough? Okay. No. Okay.
Thank you, and thanks for your great presentations and your work. I was wondering, what's the reason to work in such a large group of organizations? Because 11 subjects with very different approaches, different financial conditions, and different attitudes, and I feel I was involved in selecting residency artists for one organization, and I feel like 500 applications, that's a nightmare to go over to to review. No.
Who wants to answer there? Yeah. Me? Okay. The reason why so many organizations, very, very good question. I think that has to do with the history, because we, as Mike already started at the beginning, we were much smaller. We started with three organizations in the beginning, which was a work you could do like voluntarily next to other works. But over the years, there were some expansions. And for the last years, for example, we were like four organizations running a couple of years on our own resources. And then we had some EU grants. We had one extension with Canada, Australia, which already brought us to 10 institutions, which was nearly similar size. And it worked out. We had a great show. We had great productions. I really appreciated and enjoyed it. And then, okay, I mean, it's a mix of what you by yourself want and then what the conditions of the Creative Europe program is. And the condition for the platform is you have to organize a platform with 10 members. So Werkleitz is the organizer of the platform, and we have to have 10 members, and it all have to be from a different European member state. So it's, a platform can't be smaller than 11 institutions. And as I had the experience with 10 already, which went well, I thought I can risk it with 11, but I realized it's much more work now, definitely. But for me, it's also an inspiration. I mean, there's a lot of things we exchange and we can learn from each other. So that's internally for us an issue. But I think towards the artists, it's also another opportunity, because you have a broad variety of choices. But even so, maybe you think like, well, I do a very complex programming project. I want to go to the Ars Electronica or to Laboral. As I said, I mean, in some cases, they ended up in our center because we said, well, this is a really subversive approach. We love that. And even if I'm not a programmer, I don't have a clue about it, we have access to the universities and so on. Or the artist says, well, we are self-sustainable. We just need a place. And maybe we'll do some video blogs and then we can use your knowledge. It went out great. It was a great experience. I really appreciate that there is this variety. We were a bit overwhelmed with the amount of applications, I have to admit. So we made a mistake not giving us more time. We won't do that again. Now we know there's a huge demand and it might be growing in future, and we will take now much more time to do the choices and watch it closely. But also this database of submissions, what we have, the online platform, is like a huge potential. I mean, this is full of creativity, of ideas that I'm already thought about we should discuss if we shouldn't ask if it could be like a platform where other organizations can have a look at and say, we're also looking for projects, a part of EMAP. But that's just a very fresh idea. I'm really looking for which idea can we develop, how can we expand our possibilities.
It's also interesting that artists are choosing our organizations, not just we. Not just that we are choosing an art project, but you can select as an artist, for example, which organization you want to visit, and we are taking that into consideration. And it's great for us to know each other's work and to be able to collaborate, because it's a great platform for exchange.
I think it's very useful for the organizations to understand how they make choices, because we come from different, we have different viewpoints. And at the same time, I think it's useful for the artists because they have a greater platform. So they're, once you work with an artist and in the process of the selection, these artists you suggest or you want to work with as an organization, you make them known to the rest of the partners. So in a sense, you highlight artistic work from your perspective. So even if you don't choose that particular artist is made known to the rest of the group. So it's very good, I think, for the artist and for the organization.
I wanted to add one thing about this family question. What we receive is a lot of requests of artist groups or duos. This is possible. I mean, it's now also up front. We mentioned that it is possible to apply as an artist group, but you have to be aware that we have one residency place at each organization with the conditions I mentioned. So if it's two of you, you just have to share these conditions. We can't double the money, of course, but we highly welcome artist groups, of course. Are there any other questions here or recommendations?
Well, maybe you could just say a little bit about the conference and also include it
in the art. There are some add-ons which I didn't mention so far. Ariane reminded me to it. So the artists being selected now, they will also be invited to a so-called networking conference. The first one will take place in March in Helsinki, 23rd to 25th. And this is a new idea we try to experiment or elaborate with, to bring all the people together before they start their individual residences at these places and before they will meet at the group shows or at the final group show then in 2021. Maybe there are any mutual interests or maybe potentials for corporations. And it's also interesting to see that it's not just one residence in one place, it's really a huge network of organizations and of artists. And the other add-on what we try to work with now is trying to bring in consultants who help us a bit more, may it be in the production methodologies or also in the marketing of the works, because it's not just about to produce the works, it's also about to help the artists to find their way within towards the audience. And these are issues we also want to discuss in the conferences. Of course, I mean, like, what is our audience? What is your audience? And how can we invent new ideas? How can we expand that? All right, I don't see any more question here. No, there's one more by Leo. That will be a difficult one.
Okay. Okay. Just because you're all here and nobody else wanted to ask another question. So we heard yesterday about this face value thing. Maybe the cultural funding of Europe has developed under a face value that is not anymore the right thing. So I just want to, are you not as a network able to like analyze European politics in a way that you can have as a consortium of consortiums just for this European situation that we're here and demand that art is whatever, funded differently, funded with the social care things, sorry, funded just the double, or that we have a 10-year plan for a better Europe now, but that you people sitting here are in the game. Is the system designed in a way that it will be not an interesting question, what I say?
No, that's a crucial issue you're mentioning, which is highly discussed within our group. And I mean, as I had the opportunity to be in Brussels several times for conferences, I can tell you that most of the cultural organizations there, they do ask really critical questions, and we all have a critical position on what's happening. On different levels. One, what I mentioned in the beginning about the bureaucracy, which is mad, yeah, which I think it will sum up all the money in the end. And the second about the politics itself, which are going in direction of creative industries. It's all about markets nowadays. It's all about how can you monetize artistic works. Which is a question actually I don't really have an answer to. Yeah, I'm personally also not so interested in that subject. I think it's important, of course, to make a living and so on, but it's not my interest, and I can't really help very well in that question. And it shouldn't be the objective of a cultural funder. I think it's very important that we try to fight for a certain freedom and to make them understand that this is about a basic needed research which needs to be done in a different way than scientists work. It's about working with technologies and not just leaving that to the big corporations. I mean, I'm preaching to the already converted. We all know that. It's discussed here at the Transmediale, but it's not yet in the mind of the funders. And I think it's like something we always have to address from conference to conference. And yes, my hope is a platform is, there are 27 platforms within the Creative Euro program now, that's it. And it's the innovative project they have. They try to do something new with that. I hope very much that we will gain some influence and can come with our feedback. But also I want to make you aware and invite you that the EU just brought out a call that any person, any individual can give a feedback on their funding systems. It's right out now. I received it in my email. Or go and ask the Creative Europe desks in your countries. They send it to you. You don't need to be attached to an organization or an institution. Any individual can give feedback what your opinion is about the sense or nonsense of these funding systems. I highly appreciate your question, and this is the thing what we definitely will work on the next years. All right. Okay, there's one more.
I have a question. How far do you feel responsible also to give feedback to artists to lower the barrier of entry? So artists who propose an artwork, but they don't write it well, or they miss certain recommendations or certain requirements. How far do you see you responsible to solve this problem? It's not just all about money, but also about how to propose things.
We can't do that for everyone who is submitting, because the amount is just too much. Otherwise, I wouldn't do anything else anymore. But of course, I mean, we give feedbacks to all the artists we work with. We produce in all the steps from their idea to the production to the, let's say, marketing. I mean, to which places they could go with their work, which festivals could be interesting, which institutions, and so on. Yeah, this is what's happening within the idea of the residency, definitely. But we can't give all feedback like, why did your application fail? Because there are just too many, and the reasons are so varying. In many cases, it's just we have one place. There has to be a decision, each of us, in between, and we have too many great proposals. Yeah, but of course, there's also the other thing. Maybe we will make an FAQ to make it clear. We understand ourselves. You saw our profiles, and I think if you go to the websites, it's easy to understand our profiles, and it doesn't make sense if you're a painter or a sculptor to apply, because we don't have a studio for the classical artists, and this is not the subject we're working in. There are other institutions doing that. Unfortunately, we still receive applications of someone who thinks if he digitizes paintings or photos, that's media art. But this is something which doesn't make sense to us. But a part of that, the reasons can be really varying, from we don't have the equipment you were demanding, to we have another profile, to there's just another artist who made it in that round, and if you apply again, maybe next time it's you.
Thank you for this question, because this is something that we have very extensively discussed in our national context in terms of our organization. Of course, I agree with Peter, it's impossible to give feedback to individual feedback to 500 artists, as in the case of this, is impossible. However, we need to provide some kind of, I would say, not feedback, rather than feed forward to the artists as to what they should be seeing. And this is what we call the critical business parts of what we do. And in two ways, this has a double meaning. On the one hand, you have to actually give some feedback as to what you expect from an artist when she makes an application. But by doing that, you institutionalize the artist. So at the same time, you need to supplement these activities where you give this feedback with some activities which actually make the artist think critically as to what it means for them to be part of this supply chain, because it is a very clear value chain or supply chain. So I think it's not an easy task, But it is something we are trying to do very actively, and I think the means is pretty much what Peter said, is FAQs, is having some seminars, and they should be critical in both ways, because it's critical for an artist to make a life, make a living out of her work. It is critical, and she also has to be critical as to how it affects her in what she does. Thank you.
All right, is there any more question in the audience? Last chance, last question. Okay, otherwise I really thank you for your patience, for your attention. I hope to see your application submissions in the future. If there's any question to individual to one of the us, just approach us, we're still here. We will be here probably most of the Transmediale. And thank you very much for coming and listening. And thanks to the technical team as well of the Transmediale, for the Transmediale to organize the whole thing, and for Giuseppe to